do our work, but we will adjourn regardless. So we have the first bill is 2798, Representative Hillstrom.
We now have a quorum.
Okay, we now have a quorum, so we will now. Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, I move the Energy Policy and Finance Division report for House File 2798 to Kirsten Grossman.
Representative Hilty has moved the Energy Policy and Finance Division report to House File 2798 for First Committee and Grossman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 2798, the First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
Representative Hillstrom, you want to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2798 started off with two pieces. The more controversial piece, Section 1, was deleted, and so I believe what's left is the non-controversial piece. It doesn't cost any money. It's basically if a public utility seeks to include travel, entertainment, and related employee expenses in its rate filing cases, that they need to disclose those up front. It does place the burden on the Utilities Commission when asking for reimbursement to affirmatively disclose. And that's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. Any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hilty renews his motion, House File 2798. The First Committee Engrossment be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Pass.
Thank you.
Representative Carlson, we do have a quorum, so maybe we could move the minutes for March 1st and 3rd.
Yeah, I move that the approval of the minutes for March 1st and March 3rd, 2010.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative Hornstein. Representative Champion here?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make those motions.
Thank you.
On his behalf, if you don't mind. I move the Transportation Policy and Finance Division report for House File 2807, the First Committee of Engrossment.
Representative Carlson has moved House File 2807 to be moved to Transportation Policy and Finance Division report, the First Committee of Engrossment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Mr. Chairman, I move that House File 2807, the First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right. And then I believe there are a couple of amendments. Representative Carlson, would you be willing to move those?
Now, you're getting just a touch ahead of me here. I'll move Amendment 7A3, which is the repealer amendment.
Thank you. And this amendment, Representative Hornstein, is to get it into the condition we like it. Any discussion on that amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And then there's a second amendment.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, both of these, as I understand it, are on behalf of the author of the bill.
Correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the H2807A2 amendment.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Representative Hornstein, you want to present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2807 is last year's omnibus transportation policy bill. It was vetoed on the very last day of, well, it was presented to the governor at the end of session and then was vetoed after we had adjourned. So what we did in conversations with the governor's office and MnDOT over the interim was to remove the three provisions that the governor had concerns with. There were a couple of additional provisions that MnDOT had some concerns, even though they were not raised in the veto letter. We knew that they had some problems. So all of those provisions have been removed. And these two amendments that were passed, one is repeals some hazard materials language that Representative Leader had inserted into the bill, which had some financial implications that were, you know, beyond what I think we could handle in this bill. And then the second amendment is one that relates to a provision that Representative Champion has concerning rest areas, and you'll recall some of the debate on the House floor last year, and then we've heard subsequently from the public about these provisions that go beyond what MnDOT, I think, had originally wanted. These provisions relate to pitching a tent at the rest area, quite controversial. So those have been removed, and now that provision only really has the narrowly focused concerns that MnDOT has raised around dumping trash at rest areas. So those are the two amendments, and otherwise I think the bill is in the shape we'd like to present it on the floor.
Any discussion? Representative Hawes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hornstein, on page 6, lines 30 to 34, dealing with the corporation and deputy registrars, can you explain why you did that? Or and a second question would be, could a Chapter S, someone that formed a Chapter S, be able to have that under the name of Chapter S, or would they use their own name? How's that work?
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, my understanding is that this new language relates to the fact that these provisions are already in law and were passed in another bill last year. So that's why this language is stricken.
Representative Hall.
But I know Representative Garofalo had that provision, and he might be able to answer that specific question.
Representative Garofalo?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hall, what was the question?
The minority doesn't pay attention, do they? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Garofalo, the question is on page 6, lines 30 through 34. We're not allowing a corporation to be a deputy registrar, but someone from the corporation could be a deputy registrar. My question is, could a Chapter S, someone that forms a Chapter S, corporation be a deputy registrar, or do they simply have to move their own name as whatever they are if they're a Chapter S? Maybe you should ask the gentleman next to you. He might be able to help me quicker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Howes, and to the author of the bill, I'm section 32. I'm not that section of the bill.
Okay.
So sorry about that.
I kind of like deputy registrar. I think Representative Garofalo.
Yeah, that's funny. Sorry,
Mr. Chairman, I'll wait till it gets to the floor, and I'll look it up, and I'll ask him then. All
right. And Representative Mr. Chairman, Representative Howes, I will also get an answer for you as well.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Representative Carlson.
Yes. Oh. Go ahead. Well, could you briefly discuss the fiscal note? Is it still the same here? Or there's money here,
yes,
and this
thank
is
you.
A finance
yes,
committee, yes. So I guess we're kind of curious what the fiscal note
thank
is.
Thank you.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, I appreciate that. There's two impacts. One is $1.5 million to the Trunk Highway Fund related to some bridge provisions, and my understanding is that this is already part of MnDOT's existing appropriation. There is a $3,000 general fund impact for the rail safety grant program. So those are the two. And then we removed some other finance provisions with the amendment that related to Representative Leader's bill. So $1.5 million to the Trunk Highway Fund and $3,000 to the general fund.
And Mr. Chair, do you know specifically what's being booked to the Trunk Highway? Can you point that out in here?
Sure. I mean, that is, hold on one second. I'm going to get the exact citation from Mr. Burris. Ms. Zewers is. But that's the bridge. Section 7 and 8, Mr. Chair and Representative Junkie, and that relates to a provision concerning connecting pedestrian bridges and regional trails.
Representative Junkie.
Okay, at least I know where it's at here now.
Yeah. Any other discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
If I may, then I'll renew my motion that House File 2807, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Carlson has renewed his motion that House File 2807, first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Representative Hornstein. Representative Obermiller.
Mr. Chairman, while these come forward, I'll move the Transportation Policy and Finance Division report for House File 2801, the first committee endorsement.
Representative Carlson has moved the Transportation Policy and Finance Division report for House File 2801, the first committee engrossment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that House File 2801, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Carlson further moves House File 2801, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Obermiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, there is that one amendment to correct an internal reference. It's on line 3.24, changing subdivision 3 to subdivision 2. If we could please have that moved.
And that change is to change the number 3 to a number 2. That's on 3.24. I will move that that amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the help getting that internal reference corrected as well. House File 2801 is the bill that will establish a state policy for cost-effective, common-sense, complete street policy in Minnesota. The bill essentially directs the MnDOT to implement complete streets for road constructions, new road construction and reconstruction that's going forward. Complete streets is essentially a context-sensitive design issue. When we're building our roads in the past, we've oftentimes had the main focus and perhaps the only focus to be to implement making cars go faster and more efficiently on that road, and that makes sense for a lot of roads. But for a lot of other roads, especially roads that cut through communities, we need a little more context to how the various people who interact with the road might want to use it. And the complete streets concept takes into consideration the people who might be using the roads, including seniors, people with disabilities, kids trying to get to school, bicyclists, you know, other folks, I guess, that might interact, pedestrians trying to cross, for example, and tries to put the right feature for the right in place for each road that makes sense. So in some locations, you might have a great location for a bike path. In other locations, it might not be great. And this policy essentially says, let's think on the front end of the system, when we're first designing the road, what features should be in there so we're not putting more costly retrofits in at the end. And I think it's good policy. We've got a huge coalition behind this, including AARP, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Fresh Energy, and many, many other organizations that want to see this policy implemented, which will encourage people to be more active and out on their bikes and walking on the side of the road. But we'll also make sure that we have kind of the right features in place and not putting the wrong features in place on any given road. So I think it's good policy, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Oh, I should address the fiscal note to Representative Junkie's point. The initial fiscal note that was in your packet referenced $190,000. We took out a pilot program that was $150,000 of that in the prior committee. So we're down to 40. The new fiscal note apparently couldn't be printed in time, but has been completed. It's $41,000 over the course of the next 3 years. It's the reporting requirements that are in Article 2. And the MnDOT indicated they will be absorbing that cost, so there's no funds from the general fund anyway, but they're absorbing the cost. And there is broken out from the Trunk Highway Fund and the CASA Fund and Municipal Fund as well.
I understand you that we have some difficulty getting that fiscal note printed, and do you have someone who can outline it?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to do that. Ms. Zuers is here.
Welcome to committee. Could you identify yourself for the record? And
sure. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Corinne Zuers, and I'm from House Fiscal.
Mr. Chair, isn't that a crime?
At least it wasn't the American flag.
Don't worry, Steve, no one noticed.
Mr. Chair and members, the fiscal note system was down this morning, so we couldn't print the note out. For the costs are for reporting costs and then $1,000 for other provisions. And the costs are from the Municipal State Aid Street Fund, the County State Aid Highway Fund, and the Trunk Highway Fund in 11 and 12. That includes $1,000 from the Municipal State Aid Street Fund in 2011 and $3,000 in 2012. $4,000 from the County State Aid Highway Fund in 11 and $9,000 in 12. And $6,000 from the Trunk Highway Fund in 11 and $18,000 in fiscal year 2012.
Thank you. Any discussion or questions concerning this bill? Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Obermueller. I was intrigued by your comment that we're going to create a government policy for common sense. Interesting. I guess I'm looking through this Complete Streets handout that you gave us, and I'm trying to figure out why. It seems to me that this stuff should be and is already being done already, and I'm not sure why we needed to create, you know, a whole other bureaucracy to ensure that it does. Safety, DOT, we should expect safety. Access, we should expect access. Affordable choices, that's something that I think cities are looking at. I think we're looking at it in a variety of different ways. I'm not sure we need to have another bureaucracy to do that. Cost effective, I know cities are looking for ways to put their money in make it work as far as possible in finding choices that work for them and their communities. So that's check. Local needs, local governments are doing and taking care of those local needs. So I think there's a check there. Public health, there's all sorts of campaigns that we have related to encouraging people to walk, encouraging people to bike. Seems like that's a check. Economic development, I'm not sure that's the job of road money, but again, I think local governments are doing a great job with economic development, tourism. Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development does a lot of tourism, so that's kind of a check. The environment. Obviously, that's something that is very important, and we want to make sure that that's taken care of, and I believe that there's already systems in line to do that, so that's a check. Traffic congestion. Of course, that's something that the DOT would already do, and so that's a check, and the quality of life is something that we all care about. So I'm trying to understand why a new bureaucracy to accomplish these things that are already being accomplished in a variety of ways through partnerships at the state and local level and partnerships at the local and local level, meaning partnerships between the public and private sectors, they're already occurring. And so I'm just concerned a little bit about creating this whole new realm of feel-good opportunities for us to do things that we should be expecting local government to already be taking care of. We shouldn't have to put a new policy to expect safety and access. And I also want to know if this is going to put another roundabout in my town, which already has four.
Well, Representative Obermueller, I'm interested to hear.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, first of all, I'm not going to put a new roundabout in your town. Although you may ultimately decide that the context for the current roundabouts either fits or doesn't fit there as you redevelop those roads. Mr. Chair and Representative Broad, this isn't putting in place a new bureaucracy piece. What it is doing is putting kind of into our state policy something that our current Commissioner of Transportation already likes to do, which is the context-sensitive design, and helping to have some consistency going forward, I think, when that commissioner moves on and there's another commissioner going forward. Essentially, what we're saying is that our state needs a policy to make sure that it's encouraged and acceptable for local governments to have these kind of creative solutions that meet the needs of their individual roads. The demand for this actually is coming from our local communities. There are multiple communities in Minnesota, including Bloomington and Eagan and Rosemount, who are already kind of doing this type of thing, as you've noted. But they're hitting some roadblocks with respect to the state aid design and so forth that make it more difficult to actually put these policies into place. And so what we're trying to say is, this is the way we want to do. We want to look forward. We want to make sure we're being proactive about doing this on the front end so we save some money down the line and we have safety issues addressed. And you know, the goal is essentially not to create more bureaucracy, but to make sure that that is more streamlined. And I think this will provide more flexibility for our local governments to do that.
Representative Broad.
Just to follow up, I appreciate that explanation. I would wonder if, rather than putting something new in place, that we could remove some of the barriers to that streamlined activities, in opposition to this. You know, maybe what we ought to start doing around here is removing the barriers to doing things well, removing the barriers to doing things right, as opposed to enforcing a whole nother realm of policies that everybody intends are to be voluntary, which turn out to end up being mandatory. And so while I appreciate where you're going, I just think that we should probably go the other direction, which is take out the barriers that are currently there, as opposed to putting a new policy in. But I appreciate your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Broad. I do appreciate what you're saying there. And actually, the bill actually does help with the variance process and actually does try to loosen things up a bit. That was the pilot program we had in actually allowed you to use AASHTO standards, the American State Highway Association standards, the Green Book. But now it says as part of our current variance process, let's open it up and look at other features. So it actually, I think, does do what you're trying to do. I recognize we need to try to figure out if we're going to have mandates that would pay for them at the state, or we not have mandates. This doesn't do that, though. It doesn't require our local governments to do anything different than what they're doing today. It just encourages them. So I'm hopeful that we actually will have the flexibility, because it'll give the cities that really want to do this a chance to step up and do it without, you know, extra barriers in place.
Mr. Chairman, just one last follow-up. I appreciate that, but I get a little concerned with these things that we put in place that are not mandates that could really easily turn into mandates. And I always caution us, and as a former local government official, to agree to something that is a mandate in it's not a mandate in name only, but essentially could turn that direction. So whether it's funded today or not funded today, local government should be very careful of wanting to have the state enter into more and more policy provisions that could turn into a mandate for them in the future, and that's my concern.
Representative Kahn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, actually much of what I was going to say was said by Representative Obermuller, which is, as I see it, this bill is just moving us in the direction under the aegis of the Commissioner of Transportation. So I don't see any new bureaucracy being formed. I see, as Representative Broad went through, all the things that we needed to do or shouldn't do or were already doing. I don't see any way to put them in one place except with what's in this, with what's in this report, in this bill. So I think this just streamlines getting to where both Representative Obermuller and Representative Broad want to go.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Obermuller, I guess I have some concerns about, you know, we are creating a new mandate for the department with regard to state roads to consider new things that they aren't presently required to consider. And so the question I have for you, Representative Obermuller, is, you know, I have a lot of concerns with regard to the ability to get projects done in a timely manner. We have a lot of hoops that, many of which I think are appropriate, some of which I think are questionable, that MnDOT and others have to jump through now as they are planning to either build new roadway or improve existing roadway. So the question, Representative Obermuller, is what kind of assurance can you give me that this isn't going to indirectly increase the costs that MnDOT faces as it builds new roads or improves existing roads by essentially opening up the department to new litigation potentially or new regulatory challenges? And Representative Wagenius, it happens all the time. Representative Wagenius, and now we have a new mandate, and if somebody wants to say the state hasn't appropriately considered this, they can slow the project down. And so you can scoff, Representative Wagenius, but it happens today, and as we put these mandates in place, my concern is that we're going to only increase that problem. So Representative Obermuller, the question is, can you give me some assurance that's not going to happen?
Representative Obermuller.
Mr. Chair and Representative Coles, thank you for the question. I think the issue here is it's not a mandate for anyone except the state, and I recognize that the state policy will put in place the issue. But the policy is already being implemented. The reason there's no fiscal note is that this is our current commissioner of transportation really likes this concept and is on board with this idea. And the reason that in any individual project, there might be some additional cost that comes with it, but on many different projects, there will be some savings because of the savings on the fact that we'll have better safety and costs that are saved down the line. So the commission, if you look at the fiscal note, actually says they think this will all be a wash in the end on the actual cost. As far as how things might get slowed down or sped up, we haven't really changed the timeline on how things go. The same variance process will be in place. That was actually the original bill indicated that we would change the variance processes a little bit, which would have, I think, sped the process up a little bit more. But we have kept that same in, and that's because the county engineers wanted that, and that's important to make sure the county engineers, who are the people who would be bringing forward these good ideas and these road ideas, we want to make sure they're on board, and they are on board with the bill as it's written. So I don't think there is actually a concern that there will be a slowing down of the process in that case, because the goal of this would be to put that design piece at the very front end before any construction project gets going. You're still going to have the same community input opportunities and obligations, if you'd seen them that way, as you would have anyway. And many times in local communities, they're already considering those same things that we want to do here. This is just saying once you figure out as a community what you're going to do, you're not also going to hit roadblocks at the state level that interfere with. Now we finally get through the fight about whether to put a roundabout in, and we get that decided, and now we've got a fight at the state level that we can't get it done, and we have to go through some additional process.
Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think just to remind ourselves what this is about, if you look at the Complete Streets handout in our packet and the pictures of examples of incomplete streets, I think you would agree that this isn't made up. These streets exist all over the state. And lest we get bogged down in language, it really is about people. And you see there pedestrians and bikers and likely an individual who no longer drives their own car and has this vehicle that goes along the roadway. Those are real incidents of people for whom the street is not complete. And I think that's really what this is all about. I think we just need to focus on the fact that for some people, the design isn't optimum.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. When I've been listening to this debate, I think I keep hearing the words, we're already doing this. When you keep hearing that, it just begs the question, if everybody's already doing this, commissioner is, we all agree to its goal. No question about that. We all agree to that goal, and everybody's already doing it. It's costing $41,000. It's taking money from these transportations, other funds, and like that. If everybody is already doing it, then what's really the point? Maybe you can clarify that.
Representative Obermiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kiffmeyer. I guess my thoughts, what I was trying to figure out or trying to articulate, was that everybody wants to be doing this. We're not actually accomplishing it in every case, because there are some roadblocks in place for locals who want to try, local communities who want to try to put this in place. Our commissioner has been doing a good work of trying to convince his team to actually get these policies in place. There's the work that is done to kind of implement this involves looking at the state aid standards and coordinating, putting books together so we have one place to look instead of 10 places to look, that sort of thing. That process is starting, but it's going to take some time to do. We don't know if there'll be consistency from the top on that issue once Mr. Sorrell moves on, and that's one positive reason to do it is to make sure that we have the consistency of state policy, that this is the way our state thinks we should look at this, because it's crucial, frankly, to dealing with the issues of obesity and making sure that we have access issues, as Representative Houseman was mentioning. We are starting the process now, and what this essentially does is it says we're serious about it. We're going to put it into our policy of the state to make sure we do it and give our locals the opportunity to do this.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Obermuller. Your last phrase then said we're going to make sure. That sounds like a coming mandate.
Representative Obermuller.
Mr. Chair. I think I'll have to go back and review my tape here, but I think what I intended my comment to be was we are putting this in at the state level as a policy. It is a requirement that would be in the state policy. It is not a local requirement that locals will do it. All these ideas are generated from the local up anyway. If you want to put in the roundabout or if you decide you want to put in a bike path and you're trying to integrate that into your road, you have to go through and make sure that it complies with the state aid highway standards. And so it's no one's going to be forcing someone to say you must put in a bike path in one location. It's going to be community developed opportunities. That's the direction these things go.
Any other discussion of the bill? Seeing none, then Representative Carlson renews his motion, House File 2801, first committee engrossment be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. A couple of announcements. Finance Committee will be meeting Wednesday at 12 noon in room 200 to consider the GAMC bill. And also, it will be posted, but there will be a meeting of Finance Committee this Friday in the afternoon. Times and room will be posted. Meeting is now adjourned.